Hey, everybody.
Hey. Good evening.
Welcome. I feel out of practice. Tom and Connie did this last week, and I forgotten how to do it.
You're a natural teacher.
Knock it off. Oh, she says the sweetest things, and then I insult her.
And we're learning together.
Yes, we are, every day. So we are here for Growing with NTI, let's start with a prayer. You know, I don't pray out loud very often when I'm by myself. I've forgotten how to do that too.
Our resistance is high this evening, folks. Bear with us. We'll get there.
Yeah, when I pray when I'm by myself, it's like, God, you know.
You're not saying it for God, you're saying it for you. You might need to
say
it.
Right, okay. So let's I'll quit laughing, we'll do that. All right. Let's have our prayer.
Stop this jigger.
I just want to express my gratitude for the continuing opportunity to teach what I would learn. I want to express my gratitude for this community of people, my mighty companions, and ask that Holy Spirit be with us so that we can hear what we need to hear and say what we need to say. Amen.
And God, I would ask that I learn this lesson that's mine to learn right now, and that is to quit taking things personally. So thank you for letting me say it out loud and to... Two or three people who are listening.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Connie would also like some help, God, with her chigger problem.
Yes, I have chigger bites that are quite gross around the ankles.
All right. So we are at NTI John chapter 18, page 209. And we'll just jump in. So, what is it that you seek? Is it peace and joy and the knowing that brings comfort? I am He. I am that which you seek. But what is most important for you to realize and accept is this. I am you. I am that which you seek, and I am you. Do not pull away from this idea. Do not try to change it by making it acceptable to you. Accept this idea as it is presented fully and without question, and you accept heaven as your reality. I am He. I am peace and joy and total comfort, absent only from that which is comfortless, because I cannot be contained by illusions. And you are me, fully and without separation or difference. You are peace and joy and total comfort, separate only from your illusions and one with everything else. That one line there, I am peace and joy and total comfort, absent only from that which is comfortless, because I cannot be contained by illusions. Reminds me of that, is it in the Course in Miracles where it says, you know, something about God doesn't shed a tear for the pain and sorrow in the world, something like that. Maybe it's not. Connie's looking at me like maybe it's not there.
Well, the only thing I can think of is, as you say that, is being told repeatedly that God knows nothing of this world. So, I mean, how can we shed in... Because there is no world, it's just a dream in the mind, an illusion in the mind. So how could God shed tears for
the pain and sorrow of the world?
Pain and sorrow of the world, exactly.
Yeah. Listen not to the ego, which tells you that we are somehow different. And that's, of course, that's the real theme in this thing. And and you know, anybody who's heard Regina teach NTI knows that often when it says things like "do not pull away from this idea," it was talking directly to her when she was like, "What? You and I are exactly the same? I don't think so." And you know, and that's a pretty big idea.
All your unworthiness issues jump up. You want to call me on the same plane as Jesus or the Holy Spirit?
I don't think so.
Right.
But of course, that would be ego speaking.
Yes.
Listen not to the ego, which tells you that we are somehow different. Listen not to the voice that recommends you judge what I say for yourself. To judge what I say, or even to consider the act of judgment, is to separate me off from within, to separate me off from you within your imagination. And that's really what it is. I mean, the whole problem is this idea of separation, this idea of unworthiness and lack and limitation. So when Jesus says, "Hey, we're the same," you go, "Well, I don't know." I mean, you're just participating in that same mistaken thought.
Yeah, and there's even more to it than that. It's to me that the whole idea that I, you know, constantly have in that, yeah, I want this, but, you know, I don't want you directing it. I want to be the one directing it, you know?
I'll tell you where to work your miracles.
That's right. I'll tell you how this is going to be done if I'm going to participate. Yeah, which is, you know, which is such a bunch of crock, but... to realize that the ego is what we're wanting to give up is that director. And, you know, in the most rapid and direct that we're supposed to be reading tonight is...
most rapid and direct means to eternal bliss by
yes.
Michael Ankford.
Yes, that too.
Yes.
Number 12 says, choice B is to allow the imposter called the ego that has created all the wars, disease, death, sorrow, suffering, and evil that every human has ever experienced to continue.
Yeah, that's one of your, like you always talk about the two columns, column A, column B.
Right. So, yeah. So you got to be in all. You got to be in all of one column or the other. You know, here's what's now that I didn't even know about until recently that if you have an accident and you're in between
two cars.
If you're in between where you're supposed to be and where you are, you know, like you're not really in your lane, that they're finding you at fault for that accident. You know, I don't know the exact law, obviously, but you know,
you can't be in between.
You can't be in between.
Yeah.
Because in between you go, "Oh, it's not really my fault. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not what." Well, you know, you don't get to sit on the line and say, this is where I meant to be. Oh, well, under those circumstances, this is where I meant to be.
Right.
You know, you gotta pick a lane.
Yeah. You gotta pick choice A or choice B.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're not picking choice A, you are picking by default. You're picking choice B.
Exactly. Exactly. So if I'm not willing to relinquish my control.
Yeah, and what's your control about? Not yours,
yeah.
Everybody's control. What's that all about? That's so that you can maintain the sense of separateness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want to be joined, but that's too joined.
Okay, let's see. Lay down your imagination. Accept all that I say without question or judgment, and you accept the truth of our reality, which is and always shall be one. Notice the denial within your mind. It is there.
Aw.
It is that piece of doubt that says you could be you and I could be me, separate from you. This piece of doubt, housed within denial, believes it is your safety to keep yourself from me.
Yep.
That's what you're just saying. But doubt and denial of that which is true serves no purpose except to keep you afraid of darkened nightmares. release your doubt and denial. Accept me as I am.
Okay.
Hey, Sharon. Welcome. We're on page 209, John chapter 18.
Nope, we're on 210.
Oh, we just turned the page. We're on 210. Doubt and denial will seem fierce at times, but it is nothing to fear or be afraid of.
How gentle is that?
Acknowledge that which you see as an attack that you have attempted on truth. Acknowledge also that that which is truth cannot be attacked. All attack is only imagined doubt and denial. And then release the thought that would attempt to hide the truth from you. Stand in peace, silent, and willing. You know, the course said in this latest, in part two here that we just started on the lessons. Actually, I think it was in the review lessons. But at any rate, it said, you know, if you could get just one of these lessons, you'd get the whole thing. And this really is that the case here, because if you could really get that there's no difference between, that there's no separation between you and Jesus, you and Holy Spirit, there's no difference between you and Jesus, you and Holy Spirit. I mean, that's the whole of it, right?
Right. And well, and if you think about it, why would you want there to be?
Well, you don't on the surface. Right? I mean, it's the I am bad thought. Oh, no, Jesus.
Well, it might be the I am bad, but it's also the not wanting to relinquish what you think you're going to relinquish control. But the part that's screwed up about that is you're already under control of the ego. You think you're not under control of something? The ego has you by the whatever, right? You're not in control now.
Yeah, and the Course says you can be host to God or hostage to the ego.
Exactly. So we're going, we've gotten pretty used to this ego because I've identified with it.
The devil I know, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You have imagined an attack on truth. Yes, exactly, Kathy. You could only imagine it because truth can't be attacked, and that's what it was saying, clearly.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thanks for bringing us back on track there. So, let's see.
25-27.
Thank you. Do not be afraid that you are afraid, and do not feel guilty for it. All that you have imagined has not affected truth, and so you could have done nothing wrong. Let your fear come up and look at it, but do not be afraid of it. Be steadfast in the desire of your heart, and it will carry you through to the dawning of the day. Be steadfast in the desire of your heart, and it will carry you through to the dawning of the day. And that's, of course, what we just read with Michael Langford.
Yeah. And over and over and over again, the NTI is calling you to do your inquiry. You know, let your fear come up and look at it, but do not be afraid of it. I mean, that's just a call for inquiry.
Yeah, exactly. Confusion is common as you begin to listen and accept my voice. This is because of the voice you listened to before. It still seems to have a great hold on you, and you put faith in all that it has taught you. But now you hear another voice, too. And it also seems to make sense, although all that it says is different from anything you heard before. You stand before two voices, both witnessing to you and both claiming to be the voice of truth.
Well, I tell you, this book will read me like a book.
Connie. It's just here. Yeah. Each voice has something to say, but what they say is different. And you must make a choice. That's exactly what you just said. You must make a choice. The power of decision is within your hands. Which voice will you believe? Which voice will you choose? Which voice will you listen to? The voices are completely different. You cannot listen to both. You must make a decision. The decision you make is your choice. And, you know, Michael Singer talks about this, and Michael Anker talks about this, about, you know, which voice will you choose to believe? Well, the one that you've been listening to for 55, 60 years is, there's a whole chapter on this, right? Something about the roommate in The Untethered Soul, right? I mean, has it ever given you good advice? Ever? Have you ever found peace and comfort there? If so, it's only been temporary. It's only fleeting.
Yeah, and, you know, and as we go further and further in this journey, or, all the while seeing, sometimes I don't always get there, but seeing the freedom that's being offered in the other choice. It's like, oh, you mean if I don't identify with that, then I won't have my feelings hurt? Oh, well, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not subject to the whims of others.
Yeah, I mean, everything's not going to piss me off. Because, I mean, that's where you seem to be. Oh, God, I wouldn't do that like that. Oh, man, can you believe that? I got to let them live their own life. You know, I mean, nothing suits you.
Yeah, nothing. Even the crap you do doesn't suit you. You
yeah.
know, then you're like beat yourself up about it all night, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So nothing's ever good enough. And, you know, and in contrast, really, it's this loving all method, again, that we read with Michael Engbert. He's like, it doesn't mean that you're going to, like, change your actions. Like, if somebody throws a punch at you, you're not going to duck. You just love the person who threw a punch at you, right? But, you know, it's an emotional allowance. And that's really, you know, and therein lies the peace of God. I mean, really. It's just allowance.
And you can see that. I mean, if you could snicker because somebody threw a punch, that you found the whole thing humorous, as opposed to offended and mad and pissed off and going to hit them back. Can you? I mean, in that simple example, you can see the freedom.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right there. And it's a choice.
It is a choice. It is a choice.
And it takes some practice.
It does take some practice. Jacqueline helps me with it every day.
More often than not. Same to you, buddy.
Buddy bro. I heard you.
Yeah, and again, to just emphasize, you cannot listen to both. It's exactly what you said a while ago. Yeah. Okay, so we're at NTI John chapter 19, bottom of 2:10. The ego is a sticky voice. I need to put some other glasses on. I think it's pretty sticky myself. That's funny. It does say tricky. The ego is a tricky, sticky voice. If you believe that you have not made a decision, and you also believe that listening to your own reason will lead you to make a reasonable decision that is wise and in your best interest, you choose to let the ego speak for you. And that's what we were talking about a while ago, right? Because it's a voice that you're used to, and, you know, ego's goal is to keep you safe. And, you know, I mean, it's just, so the reason that you listen to is also of the ego. So it's like, you know, the fox watching the hen house, right? The thing that we've always relied on, the reason that we find within our mind. But actually, who lives in the mind but the ego?
Yeah.
And that's why it's tricky, because it will convince you that you should continue to listen to it. Well, you're going to do what? You're going to laugh at the guy that punched you? Come on. You know, that's not reasonable. What if he comes back with a knife? I mean, whatever the reasoning is. Because you think that voice in your head, and Michael Singer talks a lot about this, because you think that voice in the head is you, you think that the reasons that support listening to that voice are yours and distinct from what the ego is. But the reasoning and the voice that you've always heard in your head is, in fact, the ego.
Yes. Yes, and it also has to do, I'm kind of saying the same thing you are, is what is it we're trying to keep safe? We're trying to keep the body safe. Holy Spirit's not real worried about that. Okay. And then you're trying to keep, you know, all my psyche intact and compartmentalized and right where it is, and don't move this around because it's not because if you move this around then it's not going to no longer be reasonable. So let's leave this here and let's leave everything the way it is.
Yeah, I can't make a change in this area because it'll upset my apple cart over here that I've spent so much time building and protecting.
The tiles will fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a tricky voice. Let's see. In this choice, the choice to listen to the reason supplied by the ego, actually, it's the choice to let the ego speak for you. In this choice, you have made a decision. For in deciding that you could judge, you decided you were separate from that which you judge. In that choice, you made the decision that in your belief, we cannot be one. And of course, the ego's reasoning will always be based on a belief in separation. So if you're following that voice, you're just reinforcing that belief in separation. You're not looking towards oneness.
Yeah, and you know, talk to anybody that's not on the spiritual path, and this is all you hear.
What's all you hear? Don't turn the other cheek.
The things I do to protect and myself, my family,
innocent children,
save the whales, hate Trump. I mean, you know, all of it. It's everything that comes out of our mouth. Everything that comes out of the mouth of ego is separation. I mean, it's just stated over and over again.
Mm.
And you know, that makes my brother my savior. Because I get to hear it from that point of view going, that's not quite ringing true for me, you know?
Yeah, because you've seen the other choice. You've seen the possibility of the other choice, and you've lived in that possibility to some extent, and you know the peace that is there. Again, we're back to that sense of freedom you were talking about before. You know the freedom that that brings.
Yes. And I also know the pain and suffering that comes with being identified with the separation.
Yeah, so it's easier to make the choice when you know you've got one, right?
Yes.
But the choice that you seem to make when you choose to listen to the ego is not a choice, except that you choose to continue dreaming. For though the dream may seem to continue, and that continuation may seem to be your truth, it is not. There is one who is with you, observing all that you seem to see, but seeing with his eyes differently. For this one knows that dreams cannot be true and fear cannot be your reality. And so he waits with you, gently seeing what you see without accepting your nightmares, that he may share his vision when you decide that you are ready to see. I see an icon there, a Bible icon.
Uh-oh, I forgot about those.
I know. Let me go look it up. Let's see. Sorry, guys. Give me a second to pull that up. All right, so we're looking for John... Chapter 19. Sorry. Connie, can you sing or something while I look this up?
The couple of listeners, people we have listening will go away if I start singing.
No, they won't. Sing us a beautiful
red
song.
Rubber ball.
That's good. All right. John 19. There we go. Okay. And let me get to the right verse. The crucifixion of Jesus, is that it?
28-37.
The death of Jesus. Okay. All right. It says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. So when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the Scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another Scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. I tell you what, that Bible stuff to read.
Sounds like the Passion of Christ, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The movie.
Okay. So back to NTI. Oh, let me go back in the room here. Okay. Yeah, wasn't that fun, Kathy? Awful. You will believe that which you see, and you will seem to suffer for it. Your heart will be broken many times, but in this there is no loss. There is no loss, because the one that is with you still, and he knows that your suffering is merely an experience of your choice. It has no reality to it, and it affects not your eternal truth. This is why the body of Jesus seemed to bleed forth blood and water. It is because there was no truth in his body, and so there was no truth in his death.
So this is saying that, you know, this because this isn't true, this is just a symbol. Of the seeming suffering.
All the world's suffering.
Of all the world's suffering, yes, exactly. Thank you.
Death is an illusion, and this is all that you need know. For if death is not real, your world cannot be real. For your world is based on the law of death. Let go of your acceptance of death. Do not see it as your truth. For if death is not your truth, something else must be. And that something else is me.
Yay!
Yay, yeah. yeah, and this let go of your acceptance of death is the same idea that we've been working with the past couple of weeks. I'm not a body. I'm free. I'm still as God created me. You know, the only thing that can die is the body. Oh, but that's not who we are. Okay. And again, your world is based on the law of death, which is, you know, again, it's column A or column B. You know, it's something different than what really is. What really is? Life, love, energy, you know, expansiveness. What is this world based on? Death, separation, limitation. I mean, it's just the contrast of the two. And what we're doing is we're living in a world in where we believe in column B, but none of those things are true. And that's the only point here.
And the trouble is column B can be so subtle. I mean, you don't even know that you're participating in the logic of death and that you do it every day. You go out and you buy insurance. What for what purpose?
It's a death lottery.
It's a death lottery. Right. You know, you go to work every day to make sure you have enough money. You put money in retirement funds. You know, there's just a million things that you participate in that to subtly stave off death. And if we really looked at what we're doing every day, we would realize the enormity of of tasks that we do just for that purpose.
Yeah, and what comes to mind for me in looking at this is Michael Singer's surrender experiment. You know, where, you know, ego would say, you own this property, and Holy Spirit says, accept the fact that someone else is building their house on your property. You know, you need to do this to make yourself safe. And Holy Spirit would say, no, you don't. I'll tell you what you need to do when you need to do it.
Yeah.
And so, and again, it's just the difference between the two voices. It's the difference between which thought system you want to participate in. And, you know, and maybe you buy insurance, right? But you're not, your identity isn't focused there. You're not blindly going along with the regime, right?
I don't know. I mean, I know some camps that definitely say, you know, that you should not buy insurance. But I don't think we need to go there. The point is made is that we're subtly buying into the death concept on a daily basis and reinforcing it over and over and over again, and just numerous ways. And it's, you know, it's just being aware.
Just being aware. That's right.
Just being cautious.
Right. That's right. Welcome to Sherry and Marge. Hey, guys.
Hey.
We are
chapter 20.
Thank you.
Bottom of 211. Sorry.
No, that's good. Thank you. When the light begins to dawn within the mind, you will recognize it. And yet, you will not understand it or accept it completely at first. And so, you may also fear it. This is only the reaction of a mind long blinded by darkness when it first encounters the reality of light. Let this fear not upset you. It is natural in the transition. But because you have seen a glimmer of the light, it will call to you and you will follow it through your fear.
How true is this? Oh my gosh.
For somehow you know that in the light lies the absence of fear and all that you have ever sought.
Yeah, and the absence of fear is the freedom that we've been talking about. And, of course, once again, I think this speaks over and over again about the inquiry of looking at those fears in such a way that we're called to release them, and in that release is the freedom.
Amen. As you listen for the light will grow brighter in your sight. Yeah, and I just want to back up, actually, because it says once you've caught a glimmer of it, it will call to you, and that's exactly what we were talking about a while ago. Once you realize you have another choice, and that choice feels like freedom, that choice feels expansive rather than, wait a minute, maybe there really is a better way.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes it doesn't even feel like a very pretty path because you have gotten your feelings hurt, or you are upset about something, and something will call you out of it, and
you'll go, yeah, but she was wrong.
Yeah, but you're still gravitating to that old voice that hadn't done squat for you. But if you stop for a moment, do the inquiry at that moment, or just stop for a moment. Rest and
accept and trust.
If you do that just for a moment, then you can say, oh my gosh, if I wasn't in this state of mind, look at the freedom that is being offered to me.
Yeah,
that's all, and that is a glimmer.
Yeah, absolutely. As you listen for the light will go brighter in your sight. So, you know, and again, that's that thing where, you know, you can prove whatever you want. You can look for whatever proof you want. You can look for proof that you're separate and this is the world and it's just a horrible, miserable place. or you can look for the proof that you're not of this world, that peace and freedom are possible, are available. And the more you do that, the more you will see of that. The more your sight becomes unobscured.
I agree wholeheartedly.
It, the light, it will speak to you and touch you so that you know it is the light's intention to reach you. You may sense that the light comes from someplace else outside of you, but you will not be mistaken regarding the love of the light, which is undoubtedly for you.
Yeah, and I could reread that paragraph and read the light as put the word freedom in there. And
read it. You want to read it that way?
No, all I'm saying is that is my experience with this truth. Is the light is the freedom that we've been talking about.
Next, emerging will seem to occur. You will continue to sense the light as if it comes from a source that is separate from you. But you will begin to notice the light within you also. It will move you and work through you, and you will begin to feel excited about stage two. During this time, miracles will move you, and you will notice that you have begun to change. Times of doubt will visit all, but if you open to me, and you to follow the guidance of the light. Yeah, it's a snowball effect, right?
Yeah.
And it just gets better and better and better, and your trust is built more and more and more. And you experience more and more and more of that, freedom.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you get the awful contrast when you demand to hang on to your pain and you're being offended and the contrast, you know, becomes pretty intolerable.
Yeah, and I think you and I have experienced that together.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. And we talk about this often, about how we're both on the path. We participate in these classes together. We teach these classes together. We do these things, and we know what our true desire is. And so it's funny, isn't it?
That the ego will rear its ugly head, or you'll be coasting along in the ego. Even I mean, it hasn't even reared its head. You're just coasting in it. You think you're living your ever ordinary life, and then all of a sudden you're pissed off about something, and it takes the other one of us to come up and go, "What the hell are you doing?"
We don't usually do it that way. Do we?
I think we do it exactly that way.
I thought, okay, here's how I thought I handled it. I thought when I had said something to offend Connie that I would go up and go, "You know I love you and I'd never do anything in the world to hurt you." And then we got it. I mean, we're willing to, not need to be right, not need to continue to be offended. But, man, it's just like, it's jarring. It's really jarring when you find yourself upset over someone that you love and you know is on the same path as you and all that. When that person seemingly has said something to upset you, it's just like heart-wrenching.
Yeah, because you think you're plugging, you think you're about your spiritual unfoldment, you think you're on the path, and you go, "Oh my God, I wasn't there at all." You know?
How easily am I knocked off my whatever.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, here he goes. And you're ready to listen.
Yeah, so let's just go on with this. NTI John chapter 21, page 212. When you are ready to listen to me and trust me fully and in all matters and in all things, the time will come that you will experience that which you did not expect. This will be a time of celebration, for your eyes will be open and you will be fully immersed within the Spirit. The light shall be one with you, and you shall be one with the light. And you will not ask, how is it that this happened? For you will know it is your truth, and you are now seeing it, because it is so. So, you know, again, like Course in Miracles says, it's all about removing the blocks to love's awareness. That's all we're doing. It's an undoing. It's not a doing. It's an undoing. And it's interesting how this is set out in these, you know, we got like four stages here. Maybe it's just three. Well, first you're afraid and don't want to listen. And the next step is that you begin to listen. You get glimmers, and so you begin to listen more and more, and your trusts and your faith builds.
And your resistance and your rebellion declines.
Right.
That's the expansion and contraction.
Right. And it was saying that at this beginning stage, you're seeing it as somebody else has, oh, he's got all the answers. Let me ask him what's what. And then you begin to see it within yourself as well. And that's the merging that is talked about. And then it just feels to me like this, you know, this next section that we just read is about, you know, it's spiritual realization. I mean, just really understanding I'm not a body, I'm free. I'm still as God created me.
Yeah, there's a, well.
Yeah, waking up, Cheryl says. Go ahead.
Exactly, Cheryl. Waking up, there's a truth that is resonating with you, and you know that the core of your being, that while the world may not accept that as to being the truth, this is the truth. And it's there in your gut, and you know that it's so.
By the way, when we were talking about our little thing we do a while ago, Kathy said how easily I give away peace.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and if I don't get my feelings hurt, then I can let that drop pretty quick and get back to that peace and that freedom.
Okay, let's look at John 21:15-25. When you have given yourself fully to the Spirit shall be fully within you. You notice it doesn't say when you earn it. When you've done enough good works, right? When you quit cussing, whatever. It says all you have to do is give yourself fully to it. That's the surrender. And you know, this makes sense. This comes back around full circle to what we were talking about a while ago. Because the attempt to have your own will is your continued belief that you know what's best for you. But the you that you're talking about is the belief in the body. It's the whole thought system of separation.
Belief in the body and the world that goes along with that body.
And death. Right? And so it's saying all it takes is to surrender. It's complete surrender. So when you have given yourself fully to the Spirit shall be fully within you. This is not a change at all. For this is as it has always been, but in your sleep, you do not know. So the realization of your truth is but an awakening from a sleep in which you thought one thing was true when it was not. In your awakening, you will not be tested. For all that I give freely for you to accept. But you may seem to be tested before you have awakened fully. No, these tests do not come from me. It is the ego tempting you to hold on to the world. Let these temptations go and follow me. I will give you something to do that is a mission of heaven and great joy within the world. This will be your path to awakening. Each path unique, and yet each path the same, because each path serves the purpose of leaving the world of illusion for the truth of which we are. I mean, that's quite exciting, actually, you know. Talk about, it's raining outside and the sun's shining through, and it's the prettiest thing. But, you know, you talk about recognizing purpose in all things. You know, this is about my awakening. You know, no, I want to go over here and do this thing. Well, wait a minute, your path is over here. It's all about awakening. And it's just the promise in this is just, I will give you something to do that is a mission of heaven and great joy within the world. So, you know, it's there. Right?
Yeah.
Now, the Course in Miracles will talk about your function. This is saying the same thing. You have something that you should do.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course we've heard some really sweet stories about that, about people who are, Kirsten, who talks about, you know, she has love of water, and everywhere she was sent to teach, she was on great bays of water, and she'd go from town to town and great beaches and great resorts and so the Holy Spirit is just going to be real gentle and taking you on this path, and it's going to be with include great joy.
And purpose.
Amen.
Yes, Cheryl says, we don't need anything. We are the awakening. Okay. The light is in all men, and all men are the light. All men shall be known by their light, because the light is their truth. And all men know their truth and will follow it. Amen. Okay. Well, we just finished John. Seems like we went through that rather quickly. Maybe we ought to have Regina come back here and do it right.
I don't know. That sounded like that was talking about the wrong side of the page.
On column B. I was in column B, wasn't I? So here we are for Acts. Acts is a great book. It's going to be a lot of fun. So here we go, folks. We got 10 minutes. We'll give Acts a good go here. I got to look it up first, though, don't I?
Oh, because we got the Bible reading, too.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's a little bit more cheerful than what we just were reading. Let's see. Acts chapter 1. Okay. Verses 1 through 11. This is from the Bible. New International Version. This is titled, Jesus Taken Up into Heaven. It says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." I'm just reading what it says here on the page.
I don't know. I think you're making that stuff up.
I know. It's hey, Regina. Hey, Sonia. Okay, so that was the New International Version of Acts chapter 1. Let's see what the NTI version of that is. The power of all truth is within you. The story of Jesus is helpful to you as a guide, a tool, and a symbol. But the answer for you lies not in his story. If it had, he would have stayed on earth to provide the answer to you. But Jesus left your realm and returned to the Father, that you may be freed to find your answer within yourself. The Holy Spirit, which seemed to be given to the apostles when Jesus ascended from the world, was not passed on to them at this time. Only God can give the gift of the Holy Spirit. And God has given this gift to everyone. The gift has always been in the world, even before Jesus. This gift has always guided you. But as long as you continue to look outside of yourself for answers and satisfaction, you are unaware of this gift. And of course, this is why Michael Langford talks about awareness watching awareness as being the most rapid and direct means to eternal bliss. This is why our lesson today, I won't be able to cite it. You're supposed to be still. Be still and hear the voice of God, right? Oh, you got it. Good, Connie. Not it.
121?
Oh, 221. Yeah, peace to my mind. Let all my thoughts be still. Father, I come to you today to seek the peace that you alone can give. I come in silence. In the quiet of my heart, the deep recesses of my mind, I wait and listen for your voice. My Father, speak to me today. I come to hear your voice in silence and in certainty and love. Sure, you will hear my call and answer me. Sweet. Thank you. Let all my thoughts be still. Thank you, Sonia. Yeah. So, if we continue to look outside of ourselves, whether it's looking outside of ourselves in a spiritual way, seeming to search for answers, or whether we're looking outside of ourselves for proof of who we are, then we're not going to recognize the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to recognize the grace and the guidance that are really within us.
Yeah, can you tie that in a little bit more of how you get awareness, watching awareness gives you that?
Well, it's really about learning not to listen to and identify with your thoughts. So so if you back up to a position of awareness, then you get to see that thoughts are among the things that you can see and that you are not the thoughts that you think.
It's an identification with the thoughts.
It's the problem, yes.
It's the problem.
Yes. Yeah.
And I have had that experience with awareness, watching awareness, just because without the identification of the thoughts, that's where you are. You are in awareness, watching awareness. And there's nothing to be taken personally there because you're just aware of the seemingly going your cons of
right. And really it's probably one more step than that. I mean, the first step is to back up and see the thoughts, and then the awareness watching the awareness is who's seeing the seer of the thoughts, right? So that you're getting in touch with who you are and resting in that. You know, it's just opening the lines of communication, seems to me.
Cool.
Okay. Oh, we're out of time. guys, we love you. We appreciate you being here with us. We appreciate being with you. And we will pick up right here where we left off next week. We read John chapter 18 through Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Okay, we love you. Thanks so much. See you soon. Say bye.
Bye.